We're joined now by the PUP councillor, John Kyle. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
And have you been in touch with the community in Knocknagonee this morning?
Yes, I've spoken to folks there. But could I make the point, I think we shouldn't miss this, that Alex Maskey has just alleged blatant religious discrimination on the part of the Northern Ireland Housing Executive. Now, I think that's a shocking allegation on his part. And it flies in the face of what Liam Kinney said earlier, that there's been no discrimination proven with the Housing Executive for many years. So I think we need to take with a pinch of salt some of the things that Alex Maskey has said and is alleging.
Well, if we focus specifically on the case of Michael Abiona here, he now is in a situation where he does feel that as a result of racial intimidation that he can't move into to that house.
Yep. OK, well, I think there are a couple of points that need to be made. The first is that racial discrimination is wrong, full stop. That racism is wrong. It should not be taking place, and it is to be condemned unequivocally. But the second point that we need to make, which doesn't undermine, you know, my condemnation of racism, is that for local people to see a single, healthy, young man move into a pensioner's bungalow when there are local people...
But he's not healthy. He's not healthy, John Kelly. He actually does have a serious medical condition.
OK. OK, well, I wasn't aware of that. But certainly for local people, you know, to see someone who appears healthy and who is single coming into a pensioner's bungalow, that raises questions.
Well, it's not specifically a pensioner's bungalow, is it? It's a bungalow for people with mobility issues, and they can be pensioners or they can be younger people who suffer from a condition that causes them to have mobility issues.
OK, well, if that is true in Michael Abiona's case, then I stand corrected. And then he is perfectly entitled to that. But
do you think the fundamentals of this case, do you think that it is racist?
I think it is mixed. I think that there's racism involved in it, but I also think that there are real problems in terms of housing in East Belfast. There are people who have 120, 130 points who are waiting, who are effectively homeless and who are not getting housed. And this is a real problem. We have a large number of people who have come to us who are in housing stress, who are effectively homeless, who have points in excess of 100 and who are not getting housed. And this is causing problems. And it underlines the point that if you have communities that are accepting large numbers of incoming foreign nationals, if there's not sufficient infrastructure, social infrastructure to accommodate those people, it causes problems. It gives rise to resentment, and it leads to misunderstandings, and it results then in racist behaviour. And racist behaviour is wrong, but we need to look at the infrastructure that's there that's putting increased pressure on the local people.
But that's a serious situation, really, isn't it? That well-established rules and point systems can be overturned like that. Is it close to mob rule?
Is it the well-established point system is inadequate given the resources that are available? Could I say that in Michael Abiona's case, the anger was directed at the wrong person? He should not have been the target. The target is the lack of adequate social housing. That is the problem. I mean, I'm aware of a woman whose mother is in her 90s living in Knocknagonee. She herself is a pensioner. She has been wanting to get a bungalow to live close to her mother because she sees her every day. She's been waiting for a bungalow to live there, and she is still waiting. Those are the sort of circumstances that lead to frustration and anger. So the problem is not the foreign nationals who are coming in. They are to be welcomed. And as Liam Kinney said, in the vast majority of cases, they are being welcomed. They're being received by the local community and they're becoming a part of it. But the problem really is that there's insufficient housing. And therefore, we need to look again at the resources that we are putting toward this problem. If we don't deal with the shortage of housing, people are going to get angry. People have always got angry over housing. In the days of the Troubles, before foreign nationals were coming in, people were angry about housing because they needed housing and they weren't getting it. So we need
but
to
we heard from
adequate resources.
We heard from the MP in East Belfast yesterday, Naomi Long, said that yes, there's a social housing issue in East Belfast, but it's no better or worse than anywhere else. It's sort of middling around there. So
yep.
If you're in that situation where, yes, it would be nice to have more, so you allocate on need, then surely in this case, that Michael Abiona's need was greater than the example you used of the lady who lives around the corner and wants to get a bungalow.
Well, that is true if you ignore the element of being a local person who's lived there, whose family are there, who's grown up there, your children are there, and you want your children to live near you so that they can look after you. And that element is not taken account of in the mark system, the allocation system that we have. And I think that that is a weakness in it.
But does that not mean that... But that isn't a need, is it?
It is need. I mean it's not need. It's not the same need as a disability. It's not the same need as overcrowding. But it is a need that communities are strengthened when children are able to live close to their parents and don't have to move away to somewhere else whenever they get to an age of having children. That we're trying to build community. We're trying to create a sense of belonging. And if you undermine the family structure, then that weakens it. So it is a need that needs to be recognised. It may not be as great a need as someone who is disabled and is in a two-storey terraced house, as I am working with at the moment, a family, a husband and wife. The husband had a severe stroke. They're in a two-storey terraced house off the Ravenhill Road, and they cannot get a bungalow. And he has to live downstairs because he's disabled and he's in a wheelchair and he cannot walk. So it's not a need like
but
that.
But I suppose but that's not much comfort to Michael. It's not his fault there.
Sorry?
That's not much comfort to Michael, who with his own health issues was awarded this house on the basis of need and now can't move in.
Yes, well exactly. And as I said, Michael should not have been the target of people's anger. He didn't create this situation. He was perfectly entitled, if what you say is right, to take the house. But so he should not have been the target of people's anger. But still,
okay.
You need to understand that where there's a shortage of housing and people are under stress, the allocation system needs to be cleared. Now, I think the
okay.
problem is, could I just say, Lisa, the problem is that the local communities don't understand the point system and the allocation system, and they lack confidence in it.
You were talking about the point system just before the headlines.
Yes, Lisa, and thank you. And I think this is very important. It goes back to what Liam Kinney said earlier. I think there's a job of work to be done to help communities understand the point system and how it works, to build up their confidence that they're being treated fairly. And I think the housing executive, local politicians and local community leaders need to grasp this nettle and take it to the community and let them see that actually the point system does work fairly, it recognises need, and give people the confidence to believe that if somebody has allocated a house, they're entitled to it. At the moment, that level of confidence is very low.
Is that not your responsibility as well, and some of your colleagues,
yes,
that as local representatives?
It absolutely is, Lisa. I accept that. And in fact, I was in touch with the Housing Executive yesterday to ask for a meeting with them. And we are meeting next week in East Belfast. There's an important meeting to look at this very issue with community leaders, with the Housing Executive, with the Health Trust, with the Education and Library Boards, and with local residents, local community leaders, to discuss these very issues, to look at the infrastructure that is there to support people in these communities where people are under pressure, where they're stressed, where they're stretched, and where it's tough to survive. And we need to look at ways to improve the support and the infrastructure for the local residents, and in particular for the ethnic minority folks who are living there who need more support, and we need to look at ways to provide that.
Just finally, John Kyle, were you aware of any protest that was going to take place in Knocknagony?
No, I wasn't. The first I heard about it was when I was rung by Robbie Meredith yesterday morning and told that he wouldn't be interviewing me because this episode had happened. So it was the first I'd heard about it.
Are you aware of any others that are planned?
No, I'm not. But I am in contact with a number of families who have been the victims of racist attacks. And I know that there is a lot of tension and that people are anxious and concerned. And that goes right across the board, both for the ethnic minorities and for the local Indigenous Northern Irish. There is concern about the situation that we're in, and there's an urgent need to address it and to ensure that there are adequate supports given to communities at this time.
Finally, would you be urging people to cease and desist these sorts of protests?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that goes without saying. I think that any sort of racist activity really should stop. It doesn't achieve anything. It damages everyone. It damages and destroys communities. But we do need to create the opportunity for people to sit down and talk. This is the problem. There aren't opportunities to talk. People need to express their fears. They need to express their anger. They need to express what they're worried and under pressure about, and they need answers. So we need to create the fora in which people can talk these things through and not be labelled racist because they raise questions and because they've got concerns.
OK, John Kyle, thank you very much for joining us.